Time for North America's favorite real estate and legal predicament program, Thinking Real Estate. Good morning.
And I thought it wasn't just North America. I thought it was the Western Hemisphere.
Don't we have listeners in England?
Around the globe.
There you go.
Oh, man. Hey, before we get into the substantive stuff, I can't believe it. I was up north over the weekend, and it was 86 degrees on Saturday afternoon. On Sunday afternoon, it was 52.
Wow.
34 degree difference in 24 hours. I'm telling you what. And then Saturday night when that front moved through, it got cold in a big hurry. But welcome to Michigan, huh?
Well, I felt bad for you.
No, it was good. It was good. Look, I much prefer the 52 to 86. 86 is too hot for me. I just soon have it in the 60s and 70s most of the time as opposed to
that'd
the
be
80s
nice.
And 90s. So,
could you arrange that?
I'd like to arrange it. I was looking at the long-range forecast. Looks like it's going to get hot in Jackson again tomorrow and then start cooling off a little bit.
Yeah.
Same up north. So,
nice weekend coming up.
Yeah, it looks like it. And I expect there's going to be a lot of traffic going north on Thursday, Friday, and coming back on Sunday, Monday. So, anyway. All right.
Let's talk about earnest money deposits. We got all these offers coming along. I'm also finding that a lot of offers are having problems right now. Goodness sake.
No, sir.
For some reason, you're coming in a little faint for me, Laura.
Huh. Well, turn your hearing aid up.
No, that's better. No, as Laura well knows, my hearing is so sensitive that I complain about things that might annoy me. So anyway, all right. Go ahead, Laura. Yeah, that's better.
You are sensitive. You are so sensitive.
Laura, correct, that was though. Your best line of the year.
Enjoy it, because I don't know how many of those I actually have. But anyhow, so earnest money deposits. So let's talk about what's typical. I mean, well, first of all, earnest money deposit is the good faith money that's put down at the time of writing an offer. Actually, it's required to be delivered to the buyer's agent within 2 banking days after acceptance of a purchase agreement.
Okay, and stop. That's not correct.
Okay, correct me.
Item number one, earnest money deposit, as you say, you are correct. It is good faith money, but it is not necessary for an agreement. I've done plenty of agreements.
I didn't say it. No.
Yeah, no, I know. I know you didn't say. I know you didn't say it was necessary. But I'm just saying. I want
to make that part of the conversation. I was just describing what it is.
Okay. Well. But then you say that it has to be delivered to the agent within 2 business days. It's not to the agent. Within 2 banking days after the agent or broker is notified that an offer to purchase has been accepted, that deposit, if there is an earnest money deposit, it must be deposited into the broker's trust account if the broker maintains the trust account. And we'll talk about that in a second. Not all brokers maintain trust accounts. And my advice to brokers is don't maintain a trust account. But if it's got to be deposited within 2 banking days after notice of the acceptance of the offer with either the broker's trust account or with the depository institution or the place where it could be a lawyer's trust account. Typically, it's going to be a title company. It must be deposited with that title company and must be put in that account within 2 banking days. Otherwise, that's a violation of the Michigan Occupational Code. This has nothing to do with the common law, has nothing to do with contract law, simply has to do with the liability of a real estate broker and a real estate agent under the Occupational Code. If you don't have realtors involved, if you don't have real estate licensees involved, and there are plenty of deals that I do, they're typically larger commercial deals, in which there is no broker agent involved, then that requirement does not exist. However, we always want to get that check deposited as quickly as possible because, Laura, you want to fill people in on why not only do you have an interest in getting it deposited within the 2 banking days under the code, but there's another real good reason why you want to get it deposited as quickly as possible.
Well, you want to make sure it doesn't bounce.
That's exactly right. That's exactly. I've been involved in a number of cases in which the deal is signed, the deposit check is given, and it's held. The broker holds on to it. They violate the occupational code because they've been instructed by the buyer or the seller, by the parties, that it's not to be deposited, or they delay. I mean, I've had several instances where complaints have been filed with the department, with LARA, the licensing and regulatory agency, in which the agent and the broker failed to get it deposited. They now deposit it. The check bounces. Lo and behold, the seller's really ticked because this property's been off the market for whatever period of time it took to get the check deposited, and then find out that it didn't clear the bank, which could be weeks. So there's real incentive to get that check deposited. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay.
So what's the next? Where do you want to segue from there?
Well, okay. So first of all, earnest money deposit is not consideration for the agreement. This is where we started that conversation. Consideration for the agreement to sell the property is the agreement to buy. They're promises. Promises constitute consideration. As long as I have promises on both sides, voila, I have a binding contract. There may be conditions and contingencies, but at least I have a binding contract at that point. So I put up earnest money deposit to let the seller know this is a good faith offer. I'm going to make a good faith effort to make this deal go together. That's why when I see earnest money deposits of $1,000, I give a little side eye, because that's telling me that this buyer is not as, if I've got a $250,000 deal and they're only putting up a $1,000 earnest money deposit, I'm not really happy with that as a seller's attorney. What's your opinion?
Well, it depends on the price of the property. In Jackson, $500 to $1,000 is pretty typical. However, in this market, you can see anywhere from, I just closed a deal where the earnest money deposit was zero because we were closing it within a few weeks, all the way up to $10,000 to $20,000 in earnest money deposit because of the price of the home and because of the competitiveness of the offers.
Yeah, I get that. I was going to say that the reason why you want to up the earnest money deposit in today's market is it tells a seller that you are a really, really viable buyer. And if I see $500 or $1,000, you know, and a seller comes to me and asks my opinion, I'm going to say this is not what I'm looking for. I want more earnest money. But again, I'm dealing more in the commercial market than I am in the residential market. And look, over the 49 years I've been in practice, Laura, I've had buyers put up the entire amount of the purchase price as an earnest money deposit to let the seller know how serious they are.
But they can't lose all of that, correct? I mean, they're only going to lose, let's say they back out for some reason, they're only going to lose what's typical to the area for earnest money deposits, correct? They're not going to lose the whole amount.
Yeah, that's an excellent, excellent point that not even most lawyers know, and that is if I've got a, let's take a sort of a ridiculous example, although I have had deposits of several hundreds of thousands of dollars on deals. Here's the way Michigan law looks at it. Michigan courts will not enforce a, quote, penalty, end quote, clause. What they will enforce is a provision which provides for damages, in this case forfeiture of the earnest money deposit, if the buyer backs out without legal justification. You know, if there's a failure of a contingency, failure of a mortgage contingency, failure of an inspection contingency, the buyer's entitled to get the entire deposit back. That's the way the agreement typically reads. But let's suppose that the buyer says, no, I've changed my mind, and doesn't have a legal justification for getting out of the deal. What the law will do then is if I've got $1 million earnest money deposit, the damages to the seller, let's suppose, are $50,000 by the time they get the property back on the market, get another purchaser, et cetera. The court is bound by Michigan law to enforce the penalty, as it were, or the damages provision to the extent of $50,000, some reasonable amount by which or to which the seller is damaged by the default on the part of the purchaser. so that the purchaser, even though there's no provision that says I'm going to get part of my earnest money deposit back, typically the courts are not going to enforce a draconian or excessively harsh penalty, and will give this the purchaser back some amount of that earnest money deposit. I'm trying to remember if I've actually litigated that case. I can't remember ever litigating trying to get back an excessive amount of earnest money deposit, but that is what the case law is mentioning.
You went in and out for a minute there.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I was going to say that. I don't think I've litigated that issue over the course of my...
The very end is what I didn't hear.
Yeah, the case law in Michigan is, in fact, that Michigan courts don't enforce a, quote, penalty, end quote, which isn't, it's somewhat rationally related to the damage suffered by the seller. But it, now, like, take it from the other side. Let's suppose that there is a failure of a contingency and the seller unreasonably refuses to agree to release the deposit. Because here's the way it works. If the purchaser deposits the money with the, gives it to the broker. Broker puts it with the title insurance company. The buyer now is unable to get the mortgage financing that's a contingency in the agreement. So they send a notice to the seller, says failure of the contingency, we're unable to purchase the property, we're requesting return of the earnest money deposit, and now the seller refuses to release the deposit for whatever reason, just being a jerk or maybe thinking that the purchaser didn't make a good faith effort to obtain the mortgage. Some whatever the reason is, now seller refuses to agree to the release, the title company is not going to release the money to the purchaser without the seller's consent. And the same thing is true of a broker that releases the money. And this has happened, too. I've been involved in these cases before the department up in Lansing, where a broker has returned the money to a purchaser because the broker has a long-term relationship with that particular purchaser. In other words, they've been working with that purchaser, maybe a national company, over a period of years, and so they feel this fealty, this loyalty, this obligation to give it back to their, quote, client, end quote, because if they don't, they may lose that client's business. That's a mistake. But in most circumstances, it's not going to be returned to the buyer. So now, how does the buyer get that earnest money deposit back? You want to jump in on that one?
Well, they have to, typically they'll end up fighting for it, but we do a release. You got to have an authorization, a release authorization form, and then you get it to whoever's holding. First of all, you got to get both signatures, the buyer and the seller. Assuming you get both signatures, then you get it to whoever's holding the money and they release the funds.
Go ahead.
Sometimes if there's a dispute, then it's not that easy because maybe the seller won't release the funds and the title, we hold our earnest money with the title company and the title company can't release that money until they have both signatures.
All right, let me jump in because that's the underlying premise here is the seller doesn't authorize a release. So now you got a couple of options. The purchaser can file a lawsuit, and depending upon the amount of the deposit, it will either be the district court if it's less than 25 grand, or if it's 25 grand or more, it goes to the circuit court. They can file a lawsuit, and this is the problem. Trying to get a $1,000 earnest money deposit back, you're not going to be able to hire a lawyer. What you're going to do is you're going to file in small claims, and then what's going to happen is the broker is going to get the broker's lawyer in there. They're going to remove it to the general district court, and all of a sudden you as the buyer are at a big disadvantage because you're battling in a court where all of the normal court rules apply, where it's going to be more difficult. So it's problematic. There's another way that this happens, too, and that is sometimes the buyer, to the $1,000, he doesn't file a lawsuit, seller doesn't file a lawsuit to get it, so now it's sitting there in the title insurance company, or it's sitting there in the broker's trust account. So now what happens? Well, the options for the title insurance company and for the broker is to file what's called an action for interpleader, in, again, if it's less than 25 grand, it goes to the district court. More than that, it goes to the circuit court. An interpleader means simply that you file a lawsuit, you file a complaint, your name is the defendants, the people or the parties that are claiming the earnest money deposit, in this case the seller and the buyer, and then you serve them with a summons and complaint. They appear in court, and then the title company or the broker pays into the court's escrow account the amount of the deposit and then withdraws from the lawsuit. So now the buyer and seller are in the lawsuit even though they didn't start it to try and resolve the dispute. What often happens is brokers don't bother doing that, and so the deposit sits in their account for years. Well, the escheat statute in Michigan is... God, I got to go review that, what the escheat is. But if it sits there for a period of years, and there's something in the license law about 3 years, but the escheat statute is longer than that, maybe 7 years, then the broker or the trust, the title company is obliged to get the appropriate form at the state treasury department, and then the funds are deposited in escrow with the state of Michigan. They escheat to the state to be held by the state. If the seller or buyer ever want to make a claim against them, they can, but usually they don't, so the funds are held by the state. It's a complicated procedure if the parties don't agree what's going to happen to their money deposit.
That's why we don't have a trust account.
Very sensible.